We're going to go ahead and dismiss the children to their class, and I'm really excited about today's message. Thank you, Rance. Thank you, Pam. Let's give our team a big hand for all that they do. It was in 1814 that the Queen of Hawaii, Queen Kahahumanu, rowed in a canoe to a location on the Big Island to have her baby. She gave birth to a boy. This would be the son of King Kamehameha I, who united the Hawaiian Islands. And this boy was born stillborn. And as a believer, she placed him on a rock, which we visited there at Keauhu Bay on the Big Island on the Kona coast. And she cried out to God, we believe, because she was a believer, and brought the sprinkling water from a nearby spring, and the child came to life. And that child became King Kamehameha III. And he is the one that brought the Hawaiian Islands into literacy and Christianity. Because during the Second Great Awakening, you would recognize the name Charles Finney, an evangelist named Titus Cohen went to the Big Island in the mid-1800s and began preaching the gospel throughout the islands, from island to island, to the point that all of Hawaii was swept into the kingdom of God. It's believed that it was 95% Christian and the most literate nation on the planet.
Wow.
Could God do it again?
Yes.
King Kamehameha III, King Kamehameha I is the one that united the islands. You remember he led his opposing warriors to the Pali Cliffs on Oahu and pushed them over the cliffs to their death. He united the Hawaiian Islands. His second-born son, his first-born son, King Kamehameha II, died in England, but his third-born son ascended to the throne as a young child. Now that kind of reminds us of somebody else in the Bible. Because, thank you, who said that? Move to the head of the class. In 2 Kings 22, we hear the story of a young king who was the grandson of one of the worst kings of all of Judah, Manasseh. He brought all sorts of immorality into the nation. And his grandson was being tutored by some godly mothers, kind of like Timothy with Lois and Eunice. And she was raising Josiah up. And Josiah ascended to the throne at age 8. And then when the time came, they began to collect money to restore the temple. They go into the temple and they discover the book of the law. They deliver it to the king. It's read before the king. The king tears his clothes, falls down on the ground, weeping and crying out to God. And Josiah brought the nation of the southern kingdom of Judah back into the purposes of God and revival. And that's exactly what King Kamehameha III did. He brought the whole nation of Hawaii into Christianity. Now, you've seen the backstory with James Michener's Hawaii. That's the secular, you know, backstory. But the front story is that here in Kailua Kona, you will find a monument to this king, King Kamehameha III, with his co-regents, these women, these queens. He grew up and he gave Hawaii its constitutions. and he brought the nation into literacy, into Christianity, and gave Hawaii its state motto. Uamau ke'ea o ka'aina I ka pono. Everybody say that. Uamau. Everybody. Uamau. Ke'ea. O ka'aina. I ka pono. The word aina is the word for land. And the word pono is the word for righteousness. And this mirrors Proverbs, which says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. In another place, in Psalms, it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And Hawaii chose Jesus Christ to be the Lord. It was his name that Queen Kahuhumanu called out that brought her baby back to life. And this young king brought a whole nation into his purposes. Now, do you guys believe that could be done today? That's my thesis today, that God wants to do it again. Everybody say, do it again, Lord. Why not here? Why not now?
Why not
us? That's the title of my message.
Yes.
So, yes, Val.
English translation of that whole life.
Oh, okay. Uamau ke'ea o ka'aina I ka pono means the life of the land, aina, is perpetuated through righteousness. The life of the land is perpetuated through righteousness. So we sat with my friends. Now, when Val and I, the reason we went to the Big Island is Val has never been there and wanted to see it. Of course, last year the volcano went off, a fissure 8, ripped through a whole housing community, took out 700 homes, perished. Our good friend Terry Casey is over there, and he took us to the very place in the road where the lava had just marched down to the sea. And so here we're walking down the road. He says, this is the road that I would travel to go surfing. And here's this huge black lava flow of Lapahoehoe lava, which is like a very fluid type of, not the explosive type of volcano, but the flowing lava that marches down to the sea. And it was a devastating thing. We were actually planning to go last year, and we got diverted to this year. But it was good, because almost 50 years ago, I was a young man attending Kailua High School. I was raised up in the church, baptized at age 9, and we were attending Kailua Baptist Church. And I was despairing of life. I remember sitting out in front of my house, which is in Kailua, Oahu, where Joe Powell purchased redwood tongue and groove wood from the Mendocino Coast, where my great-grandparents ran a shingle factory on the Navarro River. And he built, on the Kawanui Swamp, he built a place called Enchanted Lakes, right near the beach where our previous president would vacation. There in Kailua Bay, a top 10 beach destination. And I was sitting there looking up into Hawaiian sky and saying, God, if you're really there, would you make yourself real to me? Because I was despairing of life. I could walk out my front door, back door, pull tilapias and avas and mullets out of our canal behind our house. We had mangoes and papayas and pineapples and lilikoi, which is passion fruit, and limes and lemons and all sorts of fruit in the garden that my father made there. He was a commander at Pearl Harbor and raised our family of 5 children there in Kailua, Oahu. And that is the prayer that God heard. And within a week, God had swept me into my purpose in life. I was a nonverbal young man. I remember my best friend in high school said to me one day, he said, "Greg, you just said 5 words in a row. I've never heard you do that." I was, you know, listening, waiting for the next rock album of the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and the Kinks and the Iron Butterfly to come out. And I was miserable. I was despairing of life. And I was swept in with the whole generation of young people that were touched by the Jesus movement. Anybody heard that phrase? In fact, when Time Magazine came out with the Jesus Revolution, they didn't even mention Kailua. We thought the Jesus movement started in our church, in our high school, and there in Kailua, and they weren't even mentioned because Jesus was moving on a generation. Joel 2 says, "I will pour out my spirit on your sons and daughters, and they will prophesy. They will speak for God." Let them do it again, Lord. Do it again. Everybody say, "Do it again, Lord." So I'm on Facebook with the Kailua Baptist, a youth group that was a part of this revival. One day, my dad came to me, George Escher. He said, "Greg, what if you and your buddy Bob Hewitt, who plays the piano, taught the Sunday school class these songs that you've been singing at this Bible rap that you've been going to on Friday nights at a local church?" And we started singing these songs. "I'm so glad Jesus set me free." This is new to a Baptist church, folks, you know. And we started singing these songs, and God touched these young people in this church. We grew to a youth group of 70, touring the islands and singing throughout with our enthusiasm. And we just had a reunion, and lo and behold, one of the organizers of the reunion, Brian Kamahoahoa, good Hawaiian name, he lives right at the end of Ali'i Drive, which Ali'i is the Hawaiian word for royalty. And at the end of Ali'i Drive is this Ki'ahau Bay, where the queen gave birth to Kamehameha III, which rocked the Hawaiian Islands under the preaching of Titus Cohen, who came during the Second Great Awakening. You recognize Charles Finney's name. He came to the islands, preached the gospel, and did an amazing work. And right up the road, we were able to visit University of the Nations. Now, our church in Novato had a part in establishing the University of the Nations. We had a civil engineer who passed last year, Mike Griffiths, and a scheduler, Don Scarborough, and these gentlemen went out to Hawaii under Lauren Cunningham, the founder's vision, and built this University of the Nations central square where they have all the flags. And now this campus, this several acre campus in Kailua Kona, is just crawling with young people, hundreds and hundreds of young people that are there right up the street from this ground zero for Hawaii's revival, who are being trained to go around the world. Who's been to Kailua Kona, to the University of the Nations? Do we have anybody in the house? Okay, yes, Karen Linden. I don't want to honor this lady right here. This is Karen Linden. For years was a part of Land and Sea's Missions of God, which had its beginning here with George, Brother Whitney. Two pastors, give us their names, Brother Whitney and
Brother Nevins.
Brother Nevins started a missions organization on the Mendocino Coast and sent missionaries, most of them to the Philippines and around the world, and touched the nations from this place. And for years, Karen Linden, whose kids live here on the coast, the Rockowitz family, For years, she was the treasurer for Land and Seas Missions of God, which we got to host in our American Canyon Open Door Christian Church. So we have this amazing connection back and forth. So I say all that to say, God is on the move. I said, God is on the move. And what I'm going to share with you right now is God's master plan. And we're going to start off with Habakkuk. I'm not sure if it's Habakkuk or Habakkuk. It's pronounced both ways, but it's the Caribbean or the Caribbean. I don't know which. But here it is. For the earth, read it with me. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now that is God's life purpose. That is his mission statement. And here at the end of Oak Street, as we drive down and approach this 410, 20, 30 acres of undeveloped property is the Pacific Ocean. And it is a picture of how God wants to cover this planet with a watery picture of his presence, peace, provision, and power, so that the whole ocean floor, which is very mountainous and ravenous and is just this is completely deluged with this watery substance. And that's the picture that God wants us to have in our mind of what he wants to do on this planet, is to fill the whole earth with, think of the days of Noah when God deluged the earth, fill the whole earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea. Now, you're all going to say, well, that's fine. That's going to take place in the millennium. Yeah, it's going to happen in the millennium. But I believe that it happened in the first great awakening in our nation, the second great awakening, which touched the Hawaiian Islands, and the Jesus movement of my generation. And in 1906, when the Lord raised up the Assemblies of God and the Four Square Churches, with the Pentecostal revival. And so I want to challenge us to believe for God to do it again. And what I want us to do is to think about how we can partner with him. Now, one of my colleagues, Mike Griffiths, who is the civil engineer that arranged for the building of the flag circle at the University of the Nations, Kailua Kona, almost 30 years ago, led a prayer walk up the California missions. Now, folks, you may not realize this, but the El Camino Real, which means the King's Highway, does not start in California. It actually starts in Baja, and there's missions down there. Junipero Serra created the King's Highway, and they're thinking about doing a second prayer walk that will touch all of the missions. But Mike and a guy named Lou Engel and Steve Hawthorne, the author of Seek God for the City Prayer Guide, which we use, they walked the whole length of the California missions, ringing the bell, walking and inviting God to California. And next year, 2020, we have 40 Days of Hope. Thank you to our brother Mac Besser. He organized it last year. We made a list of prayer requests, folks. Everything that we put on that list, God did.
Wow, thank you, Lord.
Does God want to answer our prayers?
Yes.
Okay. So, prayer. We pray Habakkuk 2:14 that the earth, that Mendocino, that Fort Bragg will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. But is that automatic? No, it's apprehended. So we're going to go to a story in the New Testament in Acts chapter 19, where we see Paul realizing this vision happening in his day and in his time. Here in Acts 19, Paul arrives at a city and he enters the synagogue, which is the Jewish expression of church throughout the Roman Empire, where Jews were scattered. There were synagogues. And in these synagogues, the scriptures were read regularly. And we're going to read Acts 19, verses 1 through 10, and see what God did in Ephesus. The word Ephesus means full purpose. And of course, we have the epistle to the Ephesians, which actually gave us our original design verse in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, his masterpiece, his poema, Greek word for poem, song, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that he foreordained that we should walk in them. So here's what happened. So as it happened, while Apollos, who was an apostle, was at Corinth, we have the letter to the Corinthians 1 and 2, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And there he found some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there even is a Holy Spirit." Now, wait a minute. What's going on here? So Paul says to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Now we know that John was the precursor to Jesus. He prepared the way. He came in the spirit and the power of Elijah, and he preached repentance. He preached a baptism, a washing of repentance and forgiveness. But then he said, "There's one coming who is mightier than I, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit." You can see now why they hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit. Next verse. Then Paul said to them, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of forgiveness, repentance, remission of sins, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus," or the Messiah. "And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, what's the difference between, I thought, Greg, there's only one baptism. Well, yeah, there's one baptism, there's one God, but it's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Think about this. The Father calls all men everywhere, Acts 17 says, to repent. John came with that message. He called them to repent. Jesus comes along, and he presents to us the picture of the death to self, burial and resurrection to new life. And then he says, Peter said, "Repent, Father. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ," Jesus, the Son, "and you shall receive" what? "The gift of the Holy Spirit." And so right there, these disciples get baptized into not the baptism of repentance, but actually the baptism of regeneration, where we get a new heart and we get a new spirit and we get the Holy Spirit living inside of us, as prophesied by Ezekiel 36:26. "I will give you a new heart. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit, my Holy Spirit, within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes, to keep my ordinances and do them." And that's the Christian life. And so they get baptized in the name of Jesus. Paul lays his hands on them. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. They speak with tongues. They prophesy, just like in Acts chapter 2. that happened in Jerusalem. Now, the men were about 12 in all. That sounds like a good group of disciples. What do you think? That's what Jesus chose. 12 disciples. So Paul has 12 disciples in the town of Ephesus. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. This is what we do every Sunday. But when some were hardened and did not believe, they spoke evil of the way before the multitude. He departed from them and withdrew the disciples and went to a Gentile expression of a synagogue, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. So he's left the Jewish synagogues. He's gone to the Gentiles. He's gone to the house of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years with the result, and this is the punchline, so that all who dwell in Asia, all who dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks, Gentiles and Israel, heard the word of the Lord. Now, that's pretty cool. Could God do that again?
Yes.
Could this be the house of Tyrannus? Could the word of the Lord go forth from Fort Bragg?
Yes.
And all the people, we have close to, I think, Rents, is it 20,000 people that pretty much live on the coast? And then at any given time, high season, there might be another 20,000 people that are here staying in our motels and our campsites and our B&Bs up and down the coast. You guys know the high season. And they come from all over the world. We now, this glass beach phenomena is drawing people. If you walk the Hall Road, the Glass Beach Trail, you will hear Japanese, you will hear German, you will hear French, you will hear all language. They come here from Northern California to get out of the heat. They come here and they look on the Habakkuk 2:4 expression. And we use the glass beach as a redemptive analogy of telling people how God can take your brokenness and turn it into blessings. He can take your mess and turn it into a message, your test into a testimony, your brokenness into your stumbling blocks into stepping stones, and your trash into treasure. That's our message. Now, do you suppose that given 2 years, we could see Northern California impacted for God? I'm going to sign up.
Thank you.
You want to be a part? You want to be one of the 12 disciples? You know what happens when God start moving? It says people volunteer freely in the day of his power. Psalms 110. And that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing God just do things that I could not do on my own, but he's sending workers to come and assist us and help us. I think of Robin Hulse, who shared his infographic, Jesus versus Self. He has offered to do the site work, not only for our backyard, but for Sherwood Oaks, and we're going to talk to him about First Baptist Church. He wants to do it for free. All he says, Greg, all I need are some earth movers. I need a couple Terry Casey kids to bring their loaders, and we can knock this out. This is the guy that planned supermarkets and runaway truck lanes and things like that. He's now retired, and he is serving the Lord with counseling. His infographic is on the back table. So here's my challenge today. Why not us? Why not here? And why not now? Let's pray.
Yes.
And ask the team to come. We're going to sing
a song that Kathy Grant requested. His mercy is more. And this is our song. In fact, I'm suggesting that we all, you know, learn this, form a choir. In fact, that's what the sign-up sheet is for you to sign up for our choir. We've got an upcoming, I'll pass this around. We've got an upcoming December 8th Sunday night rally that's going to include the churches here on the coast. We're going to be in here. There could be as many as 300, 400 people. We're going to have the Latinos are going to be here, the high church, low church, the liberals, the conservatives. We're all going to be together. We're going to celebrate. Thanks to you, Rents, for putting this together. And our presentation is going to be this song. So we're going to stand. We're going to sing this. His mercy is more. So would you stand with me? Father, in Jesus' name,
yes, sir.
We come to you. We pray that your kingdom would come. We pray that your will would be done. Lord, we pray that a new day would dawn. Lord, that our divided nation, our divided state, that this county that embellishes and imbibes the addiction economy would turn away from that as the lady in Samaria, when Jesus said to her, if you knew who I was, you would ask me and I would give you living water and you would never thirst again. So Lord, today we pray that we could mark November 17th on the threshold of Thanksgiving and Christmas as the beginning of the 2 years where everybody hears the name of Jesus Christ and everybody has an opportunity to respond to him and to come. Lord, we ask you as Lord of the harvest to raise up those 12 disciples. We ask you, Lord, to raise up workers that could go to their family, their oikos in the Greek, your family relationships, and begin ministering the reconciliation and the forgiveness of God so that relationships are restored. And we pray for a host of workers that be willing to go two by two from house to house and to offer assistance, to offer prayer. Lord, we pray that you'd stretch forth your mighty hand to heal and that many would be saved. We ask this in Jesus' name.
What love could remember no wrongs we have done? Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their song. Through into a sea, without bottom or shore.
That's that sea.
Our sins, they are many, his mercy.